Thought for today. Intelligent people assume responsibility. Intelligent people assume responsibility. Intelligent people assume responsibility. Do you know any intelligent people who are assuming responsibility? Well, we could start out with ourselves. Are we intelligent people who assume responsibility? A lot of times, intelligent people don't assume responsibility. A lot of times, intelligent people bypass responsibility because they don't want the responsibility. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the opportunity. In our life, we have many opportunities to assume responsibility. Now, this morning when we had our OM, I was hugging John, and I gave him a bear hug, and John says, "You got all of me," or "take all of me." How would you say that, John?
Yeah.
Take all of me.
Take all of it.
Take all of me. No, John didn't really mean that, because he gave of himself with reservation. If I had taken all of John, and I had merged with John, and I became John, and here I am, this handsome young man, instead of this other handsome young man, what would have happened to John? John would no longer exist as John. If we really took full responsibility for things that we say and things that we do, what would happen to us? What would happen? Now, let's just play with John for a little while. John says, "Take all of me, la da 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 da, all of me." Now, he really didn't mean that. Because if John, in speaking to me, says, "Take all of me," do you know what would happen? I would take all of him, and I would guide him in molding himself into whatever is his dream for himself. But how can he be guided into his dream for himself unless he knows what that dream is? Now, do you know what your dream for yourself is? If someone came along and said, "Tell me your dream for yourself in 1 second and you can have $1 million," could you say it? No, you couldn't. 1 second, that's, you know, a very short time. Could you tell me, do you have your dream on the tippy top of your consciousness? Do you have your dream of what you would like to do next? Not what your eternal plan is and what your desire for your ultimate self is, but right now, what would you like to do next? Well, I'd like to go to breakfast. Okay, that's fine. But do you have the intelligence to think that? If I say, "What do you want to do now? What is your next choice for yourself in this life, in this world, in the cosmic attitude of all? What is your dream for yourself?" Well, I'd like to go to breakfast. Could you think in such a mundane way like that? Or would you be thinking rather, "Oh, I must think something noble and something wonderful. I want to save the world. I want to correct the ozone layer program. I want to bring about the green belt that will stimulate a better ecology for the world. I'd like to do this and that. Oh my, I'd like to go down to Nigeria and bring peace to that nation because they've had so much unhappiness all of their life. I would like to go..." No, you don't. No, you don't. You're being altruistic. You're thinking beyond yourself, and you're not thinking within yourself. Think within yourself what you'd like to... Well, actually, I'd like to go to the bathroom. You know, and that's really what you'd like to do next. You'd like to have your breakfast. You'd like to just sit and meditate. You'd like to think about how wonderful you are. Oh, come on, Herb. No, really. You'd like to think about how wonderful you are. How many times a day do you say, I like me? You say, well, you teach us to say that a lot, so we say that a lot. How many times do you say it? 10, 20 times, 50 or 100 times? Two or three times? More likely it's two or three times. Now, why don't you say, I like me a lot? Because you are not acting as intelligent people who have assumed a responsibility. You see, when the mother talks to the child and says to the child, you're an idiot, you're stupid, she's planting that in the child's consciousness. If the mother is wise, she'll plant in the child's consciousness, you are a gentle, loving child. You are always so considerate. The kid just blew it, was inconsiderate, was nasty, and the mother, I just love you. You're always such a gentle, loving, considerate child. Now the kid's, damn mother, you know I'm not a gentle, loving, considerate child. I'm a stupid kid. I'm a terrible kid. He's saying inside himself, you know, and he's, you know, angry with himself. And his mother continuously says, you are such a gentle, loving child. You do such nice things for your sisters. You make your father and you make me very happy. It's just a delight to have you as a child in our family. You are such a mark. She is being intelligent and assuming the responsibility of creating her world. That kid has no right to think any thoughts at all other than what she wants him to think. Now you say, oh boy, that's a new angle. No, it isn't. He can do anything he wants to do. He created himself in her world. He created himself in her environment. And if her environment is irascible, if her environment is unstable, if her environment is noxious, then he is that way. Because that's the environment he created himself. But he created himself in her environment of stability, of honor, of peace, of love, of joy. And in creating himself in that environment, he may rebel a little bit. But the mother does not accept that rebellion as his reality. She accepts that rebellion only insofar as it's a little game they're playing, where she is continually being aware of his magnificence, where she has learned to look beyond the appearances and not be touched by what might be in the outer. She continuously says, you are a wonderful child. She continuously says, you are a gentle, courteous child. She's assuming responsibility because she is an intelligent person. Now, you say, why am I not rich? Why am I not healthy? Why am I not surrounded by wonderful people? Why am I not? Well, because you say, why am I not? And you will continue not to be that so long as you say, why am I not? Now, when you start saying, I am surrounded by harmonious beings, I'm surrounded by beautiful people, I'm wealthy, I'm independently wealthy, I'm a happy person. Say it, say it, say it, say it, say it. But Herb, that's just a bunch of words. Yes, it is just a bunch of words. To the little boy who was acting nasty, his mother said a bunch of words to him. You are a gentle child, you are a loving child, you are a considerate child, you are a thoughtful child, you are a wonderful child. And what's going to happen to that child? He will outpicture whatever it is his mother sees in him. And his mother sees beyond the appearances, thank God. His mother sees beyond the illusion that is only a temporary thing. Can you and I see beyond the illusion, which is only a temporary thing, of maybe having an illness or having limitation of any kind? Can we see beyond that and call forth the reality that we are? This takes an intelligent, assumed responsibility. It's not just a matter that somebody's going to come along and give you their life fortune. It's a matter that you prepare yourself to receive it. Now, Sylvia told the story of the man who had to stop and go to the bathroom. He was in a rural area, and nothing was open except the funeral parlor. And so he went into the funeral parlor, and he used the restroom, but before he used it, he went in and paid his respects to the person there as a courtesy and signed in the guest book, and then he used the restroom, and then he went home. and relieved. And after he was home, a couple of weeks later, the sheriff comes to his door and says, are you so-and-so? And he says, yes. Well, you were the only one who signed the guest book. He was the most hated man in town, and nobody came to his funeral. And he said in his will, anybody who comes to my funeral, you know, will be heir to my wealth. And you got the... Now, hey, that's cool. But I guarantee you, that did not happen by accident. He was placing in his consciousness, I am independently wealthy. He was placing in his consciousness, I live in a wealthy world. He was placing in his consciousness, I have lots of wonderful sales. I'm a wonderful salesman. I'm a wonderful person. He was saying these things to himself. Surely, anybody in this whole world who has to go to the bathroom so bad they go into a funeral parlor has got to be a special person. You know what I mean? They got to be very special. I mean, you go behind the funeral parlor maybe, you know. Or you go out in the bushes someplace or something, but into a funeral parlor? That's a special type of person. The only building open? You see, nothing in our life happens by chance. Nothing in our life happens in any way other than what we put the cause in motion. And when we put the cause in motion for a happy, harmonious life, such is our gift. But we must intelligently pursue it. We must take responsibility for that. We must live it, breathe it, think it. Now, I see John. He says, Herb, take all of me. And I said, John, I'd like to. But you are not giving me all of you. You're giving me a part of you, a part that doesn't hurt. The part that hurts, you're not giving to me. The part that says that things aren't working out the way I want it, things aren't just as perfect as I like it. That's the part that I want you. That's the part you don't give to me. That's the part you withhold because you think that that's not nice to give that out. Well, to me, give your dirt. To me, give all your garbage because I know where to place it. You know, in this ear, out this ear, gone. And then what's left after you've given me your garbage? Fuck! It's that clean stuff, the good stuff, that you like yourself, how wonderful you are, how great you are, what a super being you are, what a fabulous being you are. But no, you only come in. I was counseling with all of you from time to time, and I say to you, I don't want to hear your garbage. And it's true, I don't. But you must say your garbage so that you enunciate it and then release it. If you don't enunciate it and release it to the degree that you can, I'm not telling you you're supposed to go around telling your garbage to anybody, but you tell it to the vacuum cleaner. You don't tell it to a person. So I got my vacuum cleaner going here. It goes right through my head and out. Doesn't stop for a second. I don't want any of that in me. And out into the garbage, out into the trash pack, and it's gone. But I know, if I may say this, and I do it anyhow, I know all about you. I know every one of your damnable thoughts and every one of your blessed thoughts. But you don't want to face them, and you don't want to mention them. You don't want to mention your heartache. You don't want to mention the things that are giving you a real tussle. But you see, once you mention it, once you are able to verbalize it or vocalize it or whatever, what you've done is to put it in words and take it out. You have recognized it. Now let it go. I have an attitude that I don't like myself, and so I'm always stubbing my toe. I have an attitude that I don't like myself, so I'm always stubbing my toe. Once you say that, then you wake up and you say, what a stupid thing to do. What a stupid thing to do, to have an attitude I don't like myself. And of course, I'm going to always stub my toe. So once you recognize it, Once you intelligently assume responsibility for these negative thoughts that you have in your mind, you see, you let them run full range. You give them residence in your mind, and they don't even pay rent. And they're just having fun in there, and they're just picking on you and giving you a hard time. And you don't want them there. But until you recognize that they are there and get rid of them, they're going to give you trouble. Now, there is another way, too. This is another way that I oftentimes teach. There is a way that you turn from your troublesome thoughts to the good thoughts. If you have been bothered by nightmares and you can't figure out why you have these nightmares, you wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden you're trying to solve the problems of the world and you've got all these things, responsibilities, and my goodness sakes, you are just really overburdened. And even the president doesn't have that much of a problem. But you have that problem. And why do you have that problem? Because you haven't taken responsibility. You haven't gone inside of your consciousness and said, okay, boys, show's over, go home. Or you haven't brought the new floor show on. You haven't said, time for the next act. You don't say, off with the old act. You just say, time for the next act. And the next act takes over the floor, and the old act has no room to play anymore. It gets no attention anymore. So, if you say, time for the next act, what is the next act? Intelligent people assume responsibility for the next act. Now, Sylvia violated one of my very definite rules here, and Anita violates the rule now and then, Ingeborg violates it once in a while, Ellen and John, I don't think they violate it so much, but the rule is, shut up. If you haven't prepared your talk, shut up. Don't tell us you haven't prepared your talk because you're saying we are not worthy of having a prepared talk from you. If you think a prepared talk is important, shut up. If you're going to give us a talk, give us your best. To prepare a talk means that you are ready to give a talk. It doesn't mean you have made an outline. It doesn't mean you have chosen all the points of your talk. It only means that you have chosen to speak. You might have chosen a subject. Now, that's preparation. Now, go for it. But if you really mean, if I bomb, if I make a miserable talk, if my talk is not worthwhile, you know it wasn't worthwhile because I hadn't prepared for it. Well, don't give yourself an out like that. That's stupid. When you get up and you give a talk, you say, today I have something special for you. Something so special that I have not even given it a thought before because I want it to be fresh for you today. And this is the thought. Be abundance. Be perfect health. Be life everlasting. Now, what is life everlasting? Life everlasting is. What is abundance? Abundance is. What is perfect health? Perfect health is. Clear as a bell, you will speak beautiful illustrations and beautiful thoughts. Did Sylvia give a good talk this morning?
Yes.
Should Sylvia have said she didn't plan for it?
No.
You know how long Sylvia's been planning for that talk? All of her life. She drew illustrations from way back in ancient history, 15 years ago, you know? 15 years ago, or more, wasn't it, Sylvia? Even more than 15 years ago. I mean, my goodness sake, and she didn't plan it? Oh my, did she plan it. Do not paint yourself as an idiot. When you say, I didn't prepare, you're painting yourself as an idiot. And you may have prepared in a more special way than if you had written things down and tried to organize them. When Anita gets up and starts talking about something close to her heart, her talk is just the most joyous, beautiful thing in the world. When Anita gets up and goes by her notes and she's flipping through her dream book and stuff like that, what she's saying is that, I don't believe in myself. I got to depend on things that I said before. And all she's got to do is just listen to her heart and let it rush. You see, another thing that Sylvia said this morning, which was quite interesting, she said, the water is always flowing from the faucet. It's an abundance of water. We don't know it. And the only thing that can stop that water is what? If we shut it off, if we close the faucet. But she forgot about another thing. The water can be running in the house, and you can go outside the house and shut it off. The water can be running, and you can go to the main place where the water comes from, like the well or something, shut it off. Or you can turn off electricity. You can do a lot of things to turn off that water. Is that necessarily permanent? What about if your well runs dry? Give it time and it recycles itself, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So you see, we are the only ones, by our attitude, by our words, and by our actions, that cut off our good for ourselves. We are intelligent people. We should assume the responsibility of being intelligent. Of at all times saying, I live in my ideally perfect spirit, mind, and body. I am independently wealthy. I am the pure white light of love, and I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. All my ways are peace, and all my paths are what?
Pleasantness.
See, you know. Now, when you get in the car, you say, I surround my car with my pure white light of safety so that it will not have any trouble, so I will not run into people, so I will not have any accidents, so I will not do this or that. Is that what we say?
No.
What are we saying?
I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are perfect.
What has peace got to do with safety?
Nothing.
What has pleasantness got to do with safety? Nothing. What's there to be safe from? We are wrapped in our pure white light of love, and we flow in that, and we attract, if you will, if we create all around us loving, harmonious people. I was driving down the freeway yesterday or so, and as I was driving along, traffic was very slow. I was wondering what was so slow about. Well, finally we inched up to it, and here was a cop on the side of the road, and someone's car had spun around, and they were taking care of it on the side of the road. Then traffic was slow again, and we inched by. And here, some truck had lost a ladder, and several cars had run over the ladder and messed them up and gone to the side of the road. And one guy stopped right in front of the ladder. Well, now, he was just sitting there. Now, if anyone had had any compassion or intelligence, they would have all stopped. All the rows of cars would have stopped. And someone would have gotten out, taken the ladder, moved it off the road, come back and got in their cars and, okay, here we go, vroom, and we're off again. And everyone would have felt a part of that noble act of taking the ladder off the road. I thought of pulling my car in front of it sideways to stop the traffic and then, you know, take the ladder off the road. But I was in a lane too far away to do something like that. You know, you can't maneuver in that. But I'm sure that somehow it was taken care of. But you see, when you're involved in something like that and you're not involved, three cars drove over that ladder and each car was incapacitated to the side of the road. And the one Chrysler that had come up to it and stopped was just stopped. And he couldn't go to either side because the traffic just kept going by him. And everyone saw the ladder there. It was quite evident. But nobody stopped. Now, intelligent people assume responsibility. intelligent people assume responsibility. So what he could have done, he could have got out of his car, and he could have gone to the next two lanes of traffic and said, please stop. And then he takes his ladder, puts it off to the side, thank you, Dylan, and he comes back, gets in his car, and then they all leave. But you see, the first thought was, I could be run over. The cars might not stop. The cars might do this. Hey, when the cars are all stopped because they're trying to see what's going on, that's a perfect time to do it. You got control. But you see, your first thought is, I might be run over. They might not stop. They might do this. They might. You see, your first thought is panic. And this is what our first thought is in all of our life. Panic. Our first thought is, it won't work. Our first thought is, how could it function? Your first thought is, the man going into a mortuary to use the restroom while he's driving down the street. Who would do something like that? Even at the late at night. And a man, especially, when all he has to do is go to the side of the road and stand there, you know. A woman, perhaps, would go in to use the restroom facility. But a man just doesn't oftentimes do that. But the story was that he did. And the fact was that he did. And he must have been quite a guy. He must have been quite a guy, taking responsibility for himself. Now, you watched Driving Miss Daisy last night. And Miss Daisy told her driver to go on, even though he said, I have to stop and pull beside the road and go to the bathroom. And she said, well, you shouldn't do that. Wait until we get there. Da-da-da-da. And he said, Miss Daisy, I'm a man. I'm a grown man. I know when I need to do something, and I need to do this right now. I could not go into the restroom where we were because I'm a black man. And this is 1956, and black people didn't use restrooms in filling stations in the South. And therefore, now why did he have to explain that to her? Why did he have to explain? She knew those things. She was well aware of those things. But he had to explain it to her because she, too, felt he was a servant. And not only a servant, but he was a black servant. And she put him in that category. Today, there are no black servants. There are no white servants. There are servants who are paid to be servants. Chauffeurs who are paid to be chauffeurs. Gardeners who are paid to be gardeners. Engineers who are paid to be engineers. And we don't think of them by race, creed, or color. But you see, in those days, they did. And in those days, it was not a pleasant thing not to be one of the majority. But at all times, you are the majority. At all times, you are the intelligence of your world. You are an intelligent person. And you take responsibility for your world. And you say, I know I can. And I was telling you the other night that Mark was telling me that the railroad train that goes up San Luis Obispo Pass, it's a very high slope that it goes up, and that is the railroad train about which the story was written, I Think I Can. That is the railroad train about which the story was written about the little train that was going up the hill and going, I think I can, 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 I know I can, I know I can, as he went around on over the other side. Charming little story. Mark said it came from that area. Well, that's beautiful. I like to localize things too. And perhaps it's true, and perhaps it's not. But the idea is that we know we can when we put ourselves to the test. When we put ourselves to the test of taking responsibility for pulling up the hill, even though it's a steep grade. And when we get to the other side, it's downhill all the way. A wonderful, beautiful ride. So, intelligent people assume responsibility. Are you an intelligent person assuming responsibility? You can be. I believe you are. And that's my thought for today. I love you.